You see the big alleluia up here. It won't be too much longer, just a few more days, and we won't be singing alleluia anymore until Easter. So it's a good thing we're singing a lot tonight so we can get our fill. And this is the last Sunday now before the season of Lent starts this Wednesday. So I think it's a really good few days if we could prepare ourselves a little bit, think about what prayer, what penance, what good works we can do during those 40 days. What can we do that will please Almighty God and prepare us to celebrate the greatest feast in the whole liturgical year, which is Easter? We have 40 days through which we can repent, make amends to God for our sins, and hopefully turn more completely to God than we've ever turned before. This coming Wednesday, we, of course, will receive the ashes, the blessed ashes on our foreheads. We'll be told to repent and believe in the gospel, or remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. It's a very good thing to be reminded of the shortness of life and the journey of faith that we are on. Some of the people in our congregation are actually preparing to make that journey from baptism, since they're going to be receiving that sacrament at the Easter Vigil. Others will have already been baptized, but now they're preparing to join the Catholic Church. So we should try to keep these catechumens and candidates for full communion in our prayers throughout this holy season. It's about to begin. And please don't forget to pray for each other, for all of us who are baptized and who are seeking to be renewed in our baptismal faith, in our commitment to God. As Christians, we try to follow the teachings of our Lord. We do this because Jesus is more than a wise man. He's more than a holy man. He's God. His teachings, therefore, are divine. In the gospel passage today, he teaches us what is required if we wish to enter the kingdom of God. Four times in that gospel passage, he says, I tell you. He means to make a distinction between his inspired teachings and those teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's a teacher above all the other teachers. And so he makes it clear that his teaching far surpasses the teaching of the old law. He's come to fulfill that old law. And so, for example, he accepts the old law forbidding murder, but he goes even further. He forbids even getting angry at our brother. He requires reconciliation with anyone we've offended before we can offer worthily our sacrifice at the altar. For Jesus, it's not enough that we not commit adultery. His teaching is that we not even look lustfully at anyone. For Jesus, adultery can occur even in the heart. So Jesus demands chastity and purity extending even into the heart of man. And we all know how challenging that can be. As a matter of fact, we know that we ourselves don't have the strength to be truly pure, truly chaste. Neither do we have the strength within ourselves not to grow angry with anyone. And the first disciples were utterly surprised when Jesus told them not to get divorced. They said to each other, who can do this? Perhaps it would be better not to get married at all. Do you think that our Lord knew how impossible his teachings were for us weak and sinful people? Of course he did. But he never promised that the road to heaven would be an easy one. As a matter of fact, he said, "Try to enter by the narrow gate. Many will try, but be unable." So does he leave us then with an impossible situation as far as his teachings are concerned? No. He says, "For man it's impossible, but all things are possible for God." So there is a way to live out what he is teaching. That way is by the grace of God. God does not leave us to struggle against our vices and weaknesses all by ourselves. He gives us the necessary help through his Holy Spirit. We call the Holy Spirit our advocate. We call him our guide, our strength, our consolation. Nothing is impossible for God. He can accomplish all things, and he will do so. But we must beg him, ask him, and plead with him. He will make us victors over sin. How then do we receive the great gift of the Holy Spirit? Of course, you already know the answer. You know we have to pray. We have to ask the Spirit to help us because we are weak. So the work of holiness is not a work that we are to do by ourselves. The work of holiness is, above all, God's work. Of course, he gives us the sacraments. We have the intercession of the most holy and pure Mother of God, and those of the angels and the saints. Even the souls in purgatory can pray for us that we might one day be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is what we must struggle anew to do during this upcoming holy season of Lent. We have to prepare now to fast, do penance, pray, do good works, that our souls might be healed, strengthened, so that we can live out the Christian life for the love of God through the sanctifying work of his Spirit.